Are you ready? Are your pants on?
Just a couple of superstars hanging out in the men's room.
Oh. Hey, this is Tom.
That guy's attractive, Doug.
Remember that first time you robin-fed your boo? Warm meat and breath you chewing fill the air. The brisket sweats wash over you both, while that sticky sweet sauce binds your taut, rewarding bodies.
It make my ass chesty.
Love yourself. Love me. Love Salt and Smoke.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Stick it in me bum. Stick it in me bum. Perv out, baby. Perv out.
Probably wasn't the best choice for today. It's kind of a...
Well, this was audio taken from a colonoscopy that I had several years ago.
What I'm calling today a
violation of client doctor...
It's privileges. A celebration of Doug, because I feel like Doug feels like he's not appreciated, which he is, so we want to lift him up.
It's a bruised feeling for us.
Yeah.
We're all bruised a little bit. Because let's face it, sports talk radio, in a sense, is combat. And we've all got our scars.
That's true. And Appliance Discounters also, guys, the Memorial Day savings continues at all the locations until Saturday. We're talking rebates direct from the manufacturer, Doug. Mm-hmm. Some as high as $1,700. You're probably wondering what kind of brands do they have, right?
Do they have certain brands?
They do. Samsung, GE, Frigidaire, Electrolux, Bosch, Thermador, LG, and Hotpoint. Hotpoint's your favorite brand. Doug's told when we were talking about it in the commercial break. Six Missouri and Illinois locations to serve you. On Manchester Road in Baldwin, in Webster Groves, in St. Chuck, in Arnold, in St. Louis on Delores Street, and in Fairview Heights, Illinois. Check them out online at theappliancediscounters.com. Right now it's the 9 o'clock hour, Doug. It's the Tease Farm 9 o'clock hour, the official shrub sponsor.
Chuck, that's Tease Farm.
What did I say?
I think you said Tease. Or like Tease and Tease.
I said Tease, right?
Tease.
Are we really
Tease
doing
farms.
That? I said Tease Farm.
Tease. Listen to Seymour. He doesn't jump in too often, so just say thank you.
You think this family has dealt with this for all seven generations that they've owned the farms?
Tease Farm? Now I'm going to say it's going to be like the thing from the Howard Stern movie, like WNBC. Tease Farm.
There you go, Chuck.
All right. Let's go out to the Appliance Discounter phone lines. During the Tease Farm 9 o'clock hour and speak with Big Al. We told him we'd get with him here after the commercial break.
Oh, all right. Hello.
Good morning, Big Al.
Hi, Big Al.
Happy Friday.
Well, thank you.
What's up, man?
How you doing, Cat?
I'm doing great. How about you, Big Al?
Good. I'm getting ready to go play some golf. Hey, Charlie, how was your birthday?
My birthday was very fun. Thank you for asking.
I don't remember mine, so they told me it was good. It was kind of like Joe Walsh.
But there you go.
Hey, Doug, if you're ever out in the woods and you need to start a fire,
yeah,
you get right where the sun's coming in, and then you pull your right pant down, and you get that butt cheek to reflect on some dry stuff, and that baby will go right up like a flamethrower.
You think?
And Doug, if
you've
you
done that before, have you, Al?
No, that's what you would do because everybody thinks your butt's so hot.
Yeah.
Hey, Doug, if you're on the street and you were getting robbed and they recognize you, they would go rob somebody else just to give you the money. That's how cool you are.
You think they would? Do you?
Oh yeah. And I got a little story about inside information.
Okay.
First off, don't any of you idiots try to hack mine or you'll go right to prison because I'm in the defense world. I had a guy ask me for my email one time, and I said, you ask me again, I will put you in jail. But true story, I'm looking online, and all of a sudden I'm seeing these orders for $280 worth of cookware and $400 worth of luggage. I called the wife. I said, did you order cookware because you don't cook? For your mom or something? She goes, no. Turns out $2,800 later, boys, somebody got a hold of our card and run it up, bought airline tickets for Alaska Air. Oh, yeah, they had a great old time. And we had addresses to where it was going. So I call U.S. Bank. I said, hey, why don't you tell Alaska Air, and when they use these tickets, put a note on there, and as soon as these tickets show up, arrest them. Well, we don't do that. I go, what do you mean you don't do that? Well, we don't get involved in it. I said, I'm in the wrong business. He goes, what do you mean? I go, well, I should steal from you. He goes, sir, I wouldn't recommend you saying that. I go, you just said you don't do anything about it. I'm in the wrong field. You guys got people stealing $2,000 and $3,000 worth of stuff, and you don't even pursue them, and yet I'll go in to a grocery store and steal something and go to jail. So online crime, there's Doug's right. It varies, but when you get into proprietary information, Doug, ignorance is no excuse for the law. So the judge will be hard on you, even though you'll sit there and play dumb and go, I didn't think it was that bad, because it is that bad. So just keep that in mind if you're playing on the computer there at KMOV, waiting for another storm mode to pass.
I don't do a lot of hacking now. I wouldn't begin to know how.
Well, good. But anyway, I just want to say you boys have a happy Friday. When's Timmy come back? Week?
We're not sure yet. Maybe next week, maybe the week after.
Well, you guys are doing a good job without him. So.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Al.
Thank you, Big
Al. You guys take care, and I am a little sad. One of my Blue Angels went down yesterday, and they said he was on takeoff, so... Either he had a catastrophic engine failure, maybe one of his blades broke on his engine. He's got two. Or maybe he hit something, maybe a bird or something went through there and shot him out. Because if you go that quick off of the takeoff, something catastrophic's happened really fast. And
there was
he tried to punch
one.
Out.
There was another one, too, and there were two of them.
No, it was that was an F-16, but he made it. That was down in Texas, and that was a Falcon, and that was a Thunderbird. He punched out. But my guy tried to punch out, but he didn't make it. And sad for him, man, because they're warriors. He was an Afghanistan pilot, and when you get to be a Blue Angel, you're something else. So prayers to his family, and I'm sad today for my boy.
Sorry to hear that, Big Al. Thanks
Take
for the
care,
call.
Boys.
Thank you. I am very much anti-air show. I don't think we need them for the danger. I mean, every year we hear people dying in air shows. Crashes. Well, we crashed the plane in an air show. Okay, stop. We know the planes work. Is it really worth it? Is it that much entertainment to risk people's lives at these air shows? It doesn't make any sense to me.
I agree with you.
You could go on YouTube and watch air show crashes for the next 5 hours. I don't get it.
There's a certain element of danger, but the Blue Angels have been doing shows, as I understand it, without any sort of incident for years.
I don't know. I think they probably had some incidents. Not many, but how many does it take before you say, this is just entertainment?
I've seem to hear about once a year of something happening at an air show.
So it happens frequently. Is it such entertainment that we want people to risk their lives over it? I don't get it. I like to see planes go overhead real fast, but okay. I don't need them to go 3 feet away from each other.
Well, maybe I'm naive on this, but like in the Blue Angels, part of their training is for military use, or at least initially, right? And then what they do is they take the fact that these are the best of the best that we have in our Air Force or whatever the armed force that they're assigned to, they kind of put those skills on display for everyone.
I understand, but I don't think in the military they fly five planes 3 feet away from each other in formation and watch. Now we can go between each other, and I understand
the ability
they're
to
highly
be able to
skilled.
Do that is I'm sure
I,
one
I
of the
got
things
that,
that sets
I
them
got
apart.
That, but there's so much danger involved. I just don't think we need to have shows to show how closely we are to crashing these planes.
Well, I flew with them, and I'll tell you one thing: that was the scariest thing I've ever done.
For some people, the scariest thing you can do is you graduate, and then it's like, what's next after that?
Yeah.
So it's graduation time, and whether you graduate high school or college, your friends at Audio Express, Doug, have the graduation gifts they really want at prices you will love. Keep your graduates safe when a call comes in while driving with hands-free Bluetooth. Audio Express offers a large selection of Bluetooth options starting as low as $39, Doug. All kinds of great deals at Audio Express. This month, you got the graduation gifts.
Mm-hmm.
You got Father's Day gifts.
Yeah.
Go to Audio Express.
And sometimes you buy all these gifts, you might say, would you look at the credit card debt? Ooh, what do we do about that? Boy, that's getting out of control. Well, you know what you might do is refinance your mortgage.
Yeah.
You might want one of these, what I would call a cash-out refi. This is what I call it, a cash-out refi. And I think everyone in the mortgage business calls it the same thing now.
You know what you could do? You could take cash out through Ryan Kelly to purchase knives at Bertarelli Cutlery as well.
You could do all that. But first, before you get the knives, you're going to need to get that cash in your hand, and that's where Ryan Kelly comes in. He's just absolutely the best. Named number one mortgage lender for most loans closed in the Midwest by the Scotsman's Guide. Rates continue to be very, very low, some in the two now for the 15-year mortgages. most in the threes. So if you have a high mortgage rate, Cat had one in the
nines.
Nines a little while ago. I would urge you to try to get refinanced.
I lowered it.
What are you at now?
In the eights.
Well, you go again.
Congrats.
Do it again because you can get it down into the threes. If you call Ryan Kelly, he makes the whole process so very simple. Here's his phone number. Would you write the number down, please?
Sure, go ahead.
314-781-9700. 314-781-9700.
Why do you say the last part with a southern drawl?
Just really drive it home. And the website is thehomeloanexpert.com, Home Loan Expert, LLC.
Well done. Let's do the Lakeside Roofing exit poll.
The people I've spoken to just cannot believe the exit poll.
This is the Lakeside Roofing exit poll.
Just like any other poll, it has its range of error one way and the other.
Family owned for 40 years, lakesideroofing.com.
If this exit poll is right, I will publicly eat my hat.
Well done, Lakeside Roofing exit poll. Question number one, more interesting to watch, Stanley Cup Final or NBA Finals?
I would say for me it's probably the NBA Finals. You know, I'm more of a hockey fan than an NBA fan until the Blues get knocked out. And once the Blues are out, I find it a little bit hard to stay up with the hockey. I don't know why that is necessarily, but I do.
I'm tied for first. I like them both. I find them both, honestly, the same.
I'll
watch the Stanley Cup Final tonight. I watched the NBA last night. And if I can, if I'm not working otherwise. Mm.
I agree with Doug. I'm into hockey. The second the Blues are out of it, I have zero interest in hockey. Zero. I will not watch one of those games unless I am anchoring and I do the highlights.
Mm.
So NBA Finals for me.
Yeah. That's what it is for me. Even though I'm not a fan of the NBA during the regular season at all, when the playoffs roll around, then it gets interesting.
How would you guard Steph Curry? How would you do it?
Get a hand in his face.
Just a hand in his face.
Get way up in there. You know, get a body on him if you have to.
Would you throw multiple bodies at him?
I'd just wave my hands back and forth and say things like, hey, 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 while I'm doing this waving. And that'll bug him.
Sometimes if you yell at a guy, you go, ball, 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 ball.
I don't usually say that. I usually just get right up on him. First, I start with my hands low, like if you try to dribble, I'm going to take it from you. And then if I see it gets into a shooting chamber, I'll wave my hands. I'll say things like, hey, 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 and that'll throw him off his game.
When I used to play pickup basketball, I did something that I would call audio defense. And the person I was guarding didn't really enjoy it, but if they happened to get a shot where you weren't able to get a hand up, but you had access to be able to say something like in their ear as they're shooting, that would annoy someone. And then after a while, you could just say, hey, I'm only playing audio defense. And then they'd get in their kitchen.
One of my players,
it'd make you very popular in pickup basketball, dude.
One of my players at the CYC level got a technical foul for yelling, hey, at a guy right before he shot it.
That doesn't
really
sound fair.
They teed him up. Yep.
Did you get teed up then protecting your player? You should have.
I didn't. I didn't even know the rule.
Did you break a clipboard like Steve Kerr did yesterday by punching it?
No.
Should have.
I saw that.
That was pretty cool. I like Steve Kerr. Hey, this is the Tease Farms 9 o'clock hour, by the way. You'll get 10% off when mentioning the morning after CBS Sports 920 or Inside STL. You have the wagon clearance event. Fill a wagon with annuals and get half off your purchase, Doug. How about that? All right. What should the Cats' criteria be when awarding a spirit win? This is a good question.
Well, it's a very set criteria. In fact, my software site, a number of other sportscasters, particularly sideline reporters that are going nowhere with their careers, have tried to hack into my proprietary software to see what actually constitutes a spirit win. Let's see what you got.
Doug, let's go.
Oh.
Spirit win. What should the criteria be?
I guess if the club tried really hard, if they really gave it everything they had, maybe they came up just a little bit short, but, boy, the guys really gave it everything they had.
Like that 9-2 loss at Adler.
Yeah. Something like that.
Doug nailed it. He might have been hacking.
Yeah. To me, you don't get a spirit win if you lose to, say, a pitcher like John Lester or Jake Arrieta. But if you play a hard nine versus a Zach Davies type, we're talking about a wispy 155-pound guy that flat out has a cityscape tattoo on his forearm of the Emerald City. When that guy carves you up for eight innings, you say, we tip our caps, spirit win, let's go home, happy flight, and let's take care of the Gigantes.
Yeah, and the real answer is whatever I feel at that moment. And as a rights holder, I feel that moment a lot, that a spirit win should be issued.
But couldn't you get a spirit win if you had like eight hits and three runs off Lester, but you lost 4-3?
Oh, yeah, that's a spirit win. But other times, as a baseball insider, I'll see a lot of the little things that they do right that may be lost to some watching a 10-0 defeat. Yeah. But I'll pick up on them and still issue a spirit
win. Is there anything you could do to not get a spirit win if you lose?
It's a great question.
And sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes on a show, if the Cardinals lose 9-1, you don't want to focus on the negative, so you'll focus on the fact that Aledmys Diaz was 2-for-3.
Right. And how about that middle relief? We had a guy come in and got through 2/3 of an inning unscathed.
Like, sure, our starter gave up 7 runs over
Let's
5.
Let's talk about Brandon Moss's pinch hit
right.
home run
mm-hmm.
that cut the lead to 3-1. Spirit win.
And again, you might want to focus on the starter giving up 7 runs over 5. I may choose to focus on the bullpen came in and shut them down after that.
Right.
Good
for
you,
still,
Charlie.
But still lost 7-2.
Rights holder potential. That's what I just
Good
heard.
For you, Charlie.
Thank you. What's your idea of the perfect bachelor party?
Now?
Now, ever, then?
How about this? You get a couple of big tables at a TGI Fridays, you have a beer, everyone talks, and then leaves. Yeah. That's my idea.
Maybe find a Casa Loma ballroom.
Have you guys had bachelor parties for older guys that maybe took a long time to get married? Or what if somebody's getting married for the second time? Have you had any bachelor parties in recent years that are more tame?
Well, a man of my age, people aren't getting married at my age, generally speaking. But I do recall when I got to be a little older, the bachelor parties were much more tame, where most people didn't want to go to some club or, you know, booze the night away. So you go have a small dinner, you know, and some beers, and you talk about the old times back when you didn't have hair growing out of your ears.
Right. And enough hair coming out of your nose that you look like a party favor.
Yeah.
I haven't been to a bachelor party in years, Charlie. Years. Long time.
Well, if you went to one now. No, you went to Tim's.
I guess that was kind of counted, didn't it?
It was what, a
But there wasn't
rooftop?
A whole lot of crazy partying going on.
It doesn't have to be crazy.
Yeah. Well, that would have been a good one. Yeah.
What was the
one? That's the kind that I would like. Just go somewhere, Cardinal game or somewhere, a different city, see the game, go have dinner, a few drinks. That's good for me.
But that one, what, 3-4 years ago, I think it was you, that you had a private show from Thunder Down Under.
Wasn't
you
me.
You said it was not as wild as it could have been.
Wasn't me.
You're not supposed to talk about that. I say.
Wasn't me.
Perfect bachelor party. You get some of your best friends together. You share fellowship. You get a nice big, I would say, a big tuna casserole, a bunch of spoons, a bunch of forks. You all kind of share it.
Robin feed each other.
Robin feed. Mm. And then it's kind of like a family-style dinner. You know what I'm saying, Doug?
And then just shut it down like 5:30 at night?
5:36.
That's enough. We've done enough here.
Then you watch the Cardinals game.
All right.
Okay. I'd be on board with that, except for the Robin feeding part.
In honor of Tuna Fish Vaughn, this is the copy, I'm just reading it. In honor of Tuna Fish Vaughn, what is your favorite seafood?
This is easy. Lobster. You can't go wrong with
lobster. Lobster is great.
And Doug, I don't know if you you
very
get a
high
big
in
piece
cholesterol.
Of, yeah, but still,
oh,
you're
smoked.
Talking about your favorite.
Yeah.
You get, just to make it a little worse for you, you get a big piece of the lobster meat and you dunk in that melted
the
butter.
The butter, yeah.
Can I do a breaking news, by the way?
Sure.
Sea Monster just texted me. Final results for the TMA STL poll. 202 votes cast. 73% prefer Tuna Fish Vaughn over Pot Pie Vaughn.
Yeah, boy, that's breaking news.
That
there.
Is breaking.
Yeah, we better stop what we're doing to
I
get
thought
that
Pot
in.
Pie had legs, but apparently it didn't. So it is Tuna Fish Vaughn.
Okay.
For your love of tuna fish sandwiches.
All right.
So we already know your answer. How about this? Besides
no,
tuna fish.
It's not
what?
Besides tuna. I'd say salmon.
I think it's pronounced
salmon in a restaurant.
I think
it's not salmon.
It's salmon.
It should be salmon. I'll give you that. How we get salmon out of it, I frankly don't know.
It's like draft.
Yeah.
Similar, at least.
Act like you've had seafood other than tuna fish sandwich.
Draft is to draft, and salmon is to salmon.
Salmon.
No, it isn't.
Well, I think it is.
Either way, I don't have one that really comes to mind.
You love lobster?
I love lobster, but I like tilapia. I had trout the other day at that restaurant, The Block in Webster. Great spot. Farm to table, Doug.
You did what to a table?
Farm to table. You know, everything's got the grass fed.
Oh, farm to table.
Okay. Healthy choices and
all
options.
All right. Sure.
In a recent Men's Health magazine poll, 15% of men admitted to shaving their legs regularly. Is this socially acceptable? And I think we should put a disclaimer. Like, if you're a football player and you shave the bottom of your legs because you get your ankles wrapped and taped, that doesn't count. Because that's
no.
When you have to keep unwrapping the tape and you have the hair, I understand why football players, basketball players do that. But if you're doing it not for that purpose.
Yeah, I'm going to say it is socially acceptable because I couldn't give a rat's patoot if someone shaves their legs. The only thing I care about, if you're going to be in close quarters, elevator, a bath would be nice. Otherwise, do your thing. I don't care.
How hairy do your legs have to get before you say, boy, I need to shave these? Have you ever seen someone where you said, my God, you got to shave those legs?
I actually, it's funny you bring that up. I might still have the picture. I was, we were on a ferry boat at Key West. And the dude across from me was sleeping, and his legs were so hairy. I mean, it looked like he had a fur coat on. So I took a picture of it.
Did you?
It was unbelievable. He looked like a gorilla.
I've seen one or two people like that that almost look like they're wearing something, hose or something. It's so hairy.
Why do you have to take a picture and say, hey, look at this freak? Why don't you run a circus freak tent somewhere? People that are different than the others, and people can point and laugh at them.
What I did was I have a friend who's also very hairy. So I did a group text with all my other friends, and I said, hey, it's my buddy's friend's, or my friend's name is Paul. And I said, hey, look, I saw Paul's legs. And then I attached the picture of this really hairy guy. And everybody had a nice chuckle.
You've never shaved your own legs, have you?
Never.
Oh. No.
Never.
It doesn't seem to be much of a need.
What if you had wisps of hair on your shoulder?
That could easily be shaved. Can't you get someone to help you with that?
Well, they tried. I went to the hair cuttery. And they broke their shears.
Do you ever see, though, you'll be talking to someone, and they have nose hair, and they have ear hair, and then you're not close enough friends to tell them. Why hasn't someone told them to get rid of that?
And how could you look into a mirror and say, sure, I got a bush of hair growing out of my ear. I'll just leave it there. You wouldn't do anything at all about it?
No, I actually try to shave as best I can around the ear region. I try to make sure that the nasal passage hairs are...
Well, how about when it's coming straight out of the ear? You see that?
And your wife would tell you, right?
Looks like a...
You'd hope?
Piece of broccoli or something.
I try to manage it so that she doesn't have to tell me. Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it'd be very hard.
But if someone has this thing going on, I don't feel the need to tell them.
Oh, you couldn't tell them. That'd be rude.
Yeah.
You just wonder how, you know, they got to look into a mirror every now and then, right? And they don't notice the hair coming out of their ears? And they're fine with it?
It's odd. Let's move on.
All right.
It's National Donut Day. What is your favorite kind of donut?
Mine's a jelly donut.
I think that's a horrible answer. Seriously.
Why?
I think a jelly donut's one of the worst.
Well, you like bear claws. You just eat them two at a time.
Correct.
Yeah, I like jelly donuts. It's got to be the deep red, though, not the cherry jelly, but like a raspberry. Really good.
Huh.
I mean, to me, that's
I think it's raspberry.
Okay. I think that's the purest form of donut. Thank you.
The founding fathers.
Read a book. The founding fathers shared jelly donuts, and Robin fed each other. At the signing of the Declaration of Independence, there's a famous story about how they celebrated with jelly donuts.
These were scholars.
And then Robin feed.
Brilliant men. They weren't Robin feeding one another. I would say just the standard glazed donut is what I like. Just a standard glazed donut.
Like Krispy Kreme.
Sometimes those big round cinnamon rolls, you know, you can kind of unwrap. I kind of like those, too. But if I had a choice, I'd say just a glaze would be great.
I would say chocolate on chocolate. Chocolate icing on a chocolate donut. Sure. Or a nice normal cake donut, but with some good frosting on it.
It's a maple Long John all day.
Not
many people
choice.
Eat the maple donut, and I think it's a very underrated donut.
Do yourself, if you're bringing in donuts for the office, do yourself, your coworkers, a favor, though. Don't get the apple donut. No one wants it. Or the lemon donut. Those are the ones that stay in the box that no one wants, and usually someone pokes a finger into it, sees that it's a lemon, and leaves it with a finger poke hole.
Mm-hmm. I feel like so people do that to the jelly donut, though. That's why I'm surprised that
jelly
that's your
donuts
favorite.
Go. They're big sellers.
I don't know about that.
You know, I think that's it. Surprises with your donuts, though. It's like eating chocolate candy. You don't want surprises. I don't. And if I get a jelly donut, there could be a surprise in there for me.
Like the wrong flavor. No, but you can see by looking at it. You can see by looking.
There's a little portal.
To me, a surprise would be, oh, someone put a used Band-Aid in the middle of the donut. That's disgusting.
Well, every now and then you get one that didn't have the portal. You couldn't see into the window of the soul of the
usually
donut.
Usually, if it's a well-filled donut, you can kind of see inside it. You know? Jelly donuts, call in.
Yeah.
You seem angry by my answer.
No, it's just surprising because I don't think a lot of people would say that a jelly donut is their favorite. In a way, and I'm not trying to bring it up, but it's just a good correlation, in the same way that I don't think a lot of people, and we did a poll, only 12% of people said they would choose a tuna sandwich over all other options. I think if we did a similar poll, maybe I'll do it, and say, if you had your choice of a donut, would you go with a jelly donut over all other options? I bet you it would also be around 12%.
Well, there's what?
What do you think, Doug?
There's eight to ten good other options. I think your question is flawed.
That it would be no more than 12% for any sort of donut that were
unless it's glazed. I think glazed might be the overall most popular.
You know, Mascot Agency is a popular ad agency.
Sure.
Doug, they have web design, logo design for your corporate identity, marketing and advertising, social media. There's so many ways you can get a hold of them. Give them a call, 314-650-9083. Doug, you can also go to mascotagency.com or info@mascotagency.com. And then you probably want to know social media-wise how you find them, correct?
Yeah, how would a person go about locating them, Chuck?
Well, on the Facebook, it's facebook.com/mascotagency. On Twitter, it's @meetmascot. And you can show them some love on Insta. That's @mascotagency. So, Doug, if you wanted to rebrand yourself, like for years, for 30 years.
Yeah, I could use that.
For 30 years, you've been the local sports guy.
I've been just trying to get out of the
business. We could rebrand you through Mascot Agency as kind of being like a hipper you.
Yeah, like Tuna Fish Vaughn. You could
I'd like to work in a different industry.
That's the perfect way to rebrand yourself is to get out of television and start over in a new career.
Yes. I would agree with that.
Now, the move right now, based on the popularity of your new nickname, would be to open a seafood restaurant and call it Tuna Fish Doug's.
I don't see
and
that
you make
going
television
anywhere.
Spots, and you go, yeah, that's right, you know me. Tuna Fish Vaughn here, and if you want the freshest tuna, sea bass, trout, come on into my place. I'll greet you personally. I'll fix you up with a nice meal, see?
No.
Boom. There's your copy. You don't even have to write
this
it.
This restaurant, that's a tough way to go.
Yeah, but
most restaurants fail.
Yeah, but you're Doug Vaughn and people will come to see you.
No, they won't.
In the same way that Kat does the Ryan Kelly commercials, please, if you're listening, if you have a seafood shop, any type of shop with tuna, can you please try to get Doug Vaughn to do your commercial? Don't have to pay him a lot. Just pay him a little. I just really want to see Doug Vaughn pitching tuna on television.
You could pay them in tuna.
Have you ever seen a restaurant or sandwich shop advertise their tuna fish sandwiches ever in your
that's
life?
Right.
Have
that's
you seen
why
that?
It'd be funny.
We're thinking out of the box here.
What sort of restaurant? Give me the name of just one that would say,
okay.
Sure, we'll spend our advertising
what's a local
dollars
shop?
On a tuna fish sandwich.
Do we have any sandwich shops
Pickles
here?
Pickles Deli. How about Pickles Deli?
Okay, what if Lion's Choice had a
they
tuna fish.
Tuna fish.
I'm just saying, hypothetically.
Pickles
if Lion's
Deli
Choice
has a good egg salad sandwich, a good tuna sandwich, they have one in the Central West End. And you go, hey, Doug Vaughn for Pickles Deli, the best place to go for sandwiches. My favorite is tuna. You should try it. You'll be glad you did. We're fixing up tuna sandwiches for you, bro.
And just like that, it's done.
Yeah, and they'll give
watch
you
the money roll
here's
in.
Your payment. Here's your payment, a tuna sandwich, Doug.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're still laughing over that, aren't you?
I just think it'd be funny.
It's just not that funny.
It is funny,
yeah,
and our listeners would go to the place and they would eat it.
No,
it'd be a great. In the same way, a lot of these local commercials are kind of crappy. Let's be honest. It would be perfect for you to kind of hawk the tuna sandwich.
It's probably not a big moneymaker for anybody. They're not going to spend their dollars on that, Chuck.
Let's see. So the poll is done. And
it was a good one.
It was a good poll. And we have about 5 or 6 minutes till the Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week, Doug. We do have some fun with audio. Plowsy, you back there? We have NBA players read mean tweets. I saw that last night. I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, they were okay. I thought, you know, having Shaq and Dikembe Mutombo in the mix, I thought was pretty good. But I just cut it because there wasn't much going on in the world of sports and entertainment last night. Mm-mm.
You know, random Dikembe Mutombo story. I think it was 2 days ago. Something happened where something got rejected, so I made a Dikembe Mutombo reference and did the finger wag. And my fiance had no idea. She goes, who? She had no idea who Dikembe Mutombo was. So I told her who he was, and then I told this story, which I heard on the Dan Le Batard show, which apparently, you know, if you've heard Dikembe Mutombo's voice, it is just this super deep. It's almost sounds like an alien. And obviously, he doesn't speak English really well. So apparently, when he went to Georgetown at first, he didn't know English really well, but what he would do is he would walk into the club, and there'd be a bunch of women around, and he would say, "Who wants to sex Mutombo?" And that's what he would say, and all the players thought it was really funny. In the Le Batard show, they were interviewing Alonzo Mourning, who played basketball with Dikembe Mutombo at Georgetown, and he verified the fact and validated that that did happen back in his college days.
Did it work for him?
Probably.
Just by saying that?
He would walk in and say, "Who wants to sex Mutombo?"
And girls would raise their hand?
He was also a 7'3" dude who was a great basketball player who was about to be in the NBA. I think that probably plays pretty well.
Well, yeah, but girls usually need a little bit more romancing than that.
Isn't that also a good line, though? It's a good opener.
Yeah, well, I guess.
So, Plowsy, should we play these or not?
I mean, I don't know, I guess.
What about the rugby one?
The rugby one was my favorite.
All right, let's do that one. Rugby players have interesting comparison when talking about the win.
All right, hit the lever, Plowsy.
How was that, Sam?
Yeah, it was a bit like losing your virginity. It wasn't very nice, but we got the job done.
I'm not sure if I've got a second question.
That's all right, but yeah, tough win.
So, Kat, this is kind of your wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. What would you do as a sideline reporter if that's your first question in your chamber? Your second question is, you know, talk about the bullpen. But then that dude comes with a virginity illusion. What do you do?
I reference the fact that wasn't what I expected. Heh, not really what I was looking for. Thoughts on the bullpen? And you could have said, who's big for you? I could have said that at tied up. And who's big for you? Right. Back to you, Pat.
Also, a news anchor bursts into laughter when a cloud, Doug, looks like a phallus.
A cloud.
A cloud in the
sky.
How
often does that come up on the news?
Like a cumulonimbus.
Would you look at the clouds?
No, I haven't seen this, but apparently the audio is the person sees the cloud, it looks like the male member, then they start laughing, roll it.
Okay, hit the lever, Plowsy.
Is when you take a step back, is there anything else you see in this picture?
Sam, you didn't have to say that.
What?
It's about as subtle as a sledgehammer, mate. I mean, why didn't you just... Oh, maybe Melissa did. She certainly had to look up.
There's a lot of detail.
Oh, my goodness.
Well captured.
How about that, Doug?
Well, what was happening there?
Couldn't really tell.
They were laughing at the fact that the cloud looked like a penis.
And they're just showing each other pictures as they sat there on the news set?
Don't you feel
that
like news
for news sometimes?
Don't you think news, like both of these clips, you had like the fun accents. I feel like our news would be better if you had accents like that.
Yeah. I suppose it would be. Why do you think Americans lost the English accent?
It's a good question. I have no idea.
I mean, because of it's not even close. Sometimes you hear somebody with a real Cockney accent, and you can't hardly understand what they're saying. You wonder how that boat ride over here, how the accent got lost.
But also, why do you think people in the South have a Southern accent and we don't?
I guess just because people in that region, somebody started talking that way, and so they followed their parents and neighbors.
In New York, they say things like, come on, come on.
Like Paramarino's
beckoning you there to try to fight you.
Yeah, Paramarino's dead, didn't they?
Come on.
A lot of regional accents are disappearing, they say, because of television. You watch television, everybody talks the same. You don't hear a lot of regional accents on TV.
I like a nice accent, though.
Yeah, it's different.
What's your favorite?
I don't think I have an accent. So I think a southern accent probably. I mean, if we're talking about American dialects, like I think the Australian people we just heard, that's kind of a cool accent. Mm. I always hear a British person, and I'm kind of annoyed by it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I feel like a British accent
just pretentious.
It sounds uppity. It does.
It's almost like they're trying to sound that way.
Right. But also, I feel like for the news, there's a credibility that goes with someone speaking in a British accent, even if they have no credibility.
It must be serious. They sound awfully serious.
It sounds more serious. And like with soccer, I feel like for whatever reason, if the soccer announcer is British, he knows more of what he's talking about.
Right. Yeah. I would agree with that.
Let's do the final one, the NBA players that read mean tweets from the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Hit the lever, please, Plowsy.
One day, Klay Thompson is going to leave the house without remembering to attach his goatee that he bought from Party City.
Does anyone know what Blake Griffin is? Did Morgan Freeman and Carrot Top impregnate an Amazon or what?
Andre Iguodala has the worst body language of anyone in the NBA. If he got a dollar for every dirty look he made, he'd have another $80 million.
Russell Westbrook looked like Jar Jar Binks. I'll take your word for it. I don't know who that is, but sure.
Pretty sure Reggie Miller's ears provide Wi-Fi. Oh, my God. They do.
Doc Rivers' voice is ashy as hell. Put some lotion on those voice cords, bro.
Shaq is a fat-ass old man that your mother loves very dearly.
Have you ever been downloading something online and halfway through it just froze and couldn't go anywhere? Think Steph Curry's puberty. Have nothing for that. That's good.
You, DeAndre Jordan, you can suck a million per second and yourself until you die, you piece of butt. I just have fun. That sound exactly like Dikembe Mutombo speaking in his native tongue. That.
There he is, Dikembe. Who wants to sex Mutombo? Somebody actually texted in about that, Doug. Stubby Applause said, Doug walks into Novak's and yells, "Who wants to sex Big Tuna?" And that is the text of the day.
I don't know what he's been suspended.
Text of the day.
Stubby Applause has been suspended. Suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name, even as we speak, is being written into the Llewellyn suspension logule.
And Doug, the prize, a free roast beef sandwich at Lion's Choice, one of our favorites, and they have that new location in Rock Hill, the brand new building. It's really nice. Mm-hmm. Check it out on Manchester over there.
Oh, yeah. I have an interesting debate going on Twitter. I did tweet out something in honor of National Donut Day. I said, I believe that the jelly donut is the building block of the entire donut empire, and someone tweeted that they feel it's really the crown jewel. What do you think, Doug? Jelly donut?
The building block would be the donut hole. Because, you know, that's how it started. And then you cut it out the hole and, you know, you had the donut problem.
Is that really true, though? Like, do they cut a hole in the donut or do they kind of wrap it in a way? You know what I'm saying? Like, is a hole actually cut out of it?
Well, you said it, Doug.
I don't make a lot of donuts.
Okay.
I just feel like people love jelly donuts, particularly the raspberry-filled ones. And then so that opens the door for other flavors that we see now, you know, bacon covered donuts. But it's the jelly donut that blazed the trail.
The building block, yeah. So to speak. Yeah. The cornerstone, the foundation.
Thank you, Doug.
Well done.
Okay.
Hey, let's do the Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week.
Cut of the Week is brought to you by Bertarelli Cutlery. Visit them on the Hill, online at BertarelliCutlery.com, or follow them on Facebook or Twitter at STL9. Cut one.
So for 20 years, you think he's been faking his death because he got tired of this fame and fortune thing.
Right. People are trying to kill him.
Man.
You had East Coast, West Coast.
Why would they try to kill him?
Because you had Biggie versus Pac.
Right.
Why? You had Suge Knight.
Why?
Yeah, Suge Knight.
Why were they beefs against each other?
You had beefs.
Okay, Bad what's beefs the beef?
You had rap battles.
Okay, for what?
You had diss tracks.
Why? Why the discord?
Because one guy was like, yo, I'm better than you. I'm the illest MC.
Cut two.
I need a belt. These shorts are a little big on me.
Sure.
And so I was walking around for about the first 10 minutes trying to find a rope. Ended up finding an extension cord, and then used that as a belt, and then texted Seymour to see if he had any belts I could use.
See, that's the biggest power Hoosier move I've heard in a while. I'll use an extension cord as a belt.
I like that.
I tied it up. I had a couple options. You had the white, you had the all black, and I picked the brown one because it matched my shorts, Doug.
Cut three.
Hey, Doug.
Yo.
You don't get no girl.
Well, now why would you say that, Mike?
You get a little baby girl.
Ba-da-da! Ba-da-da!
You can't say baby girl?
Cut four.
Some say love, it is a razor that leaves your heart to bleed.
You suffer a head injury in the last day or two?
He's good.
It's very good. It's a wonderful voice.
Cut five.
And a tuna sandwich is a great choice.
Yeah.
Just saying you don't need to do it every day.
I don't do it every day. Do you ever worry about the mercury intake?
I don't.
And the mayo?
No. I don't eat there every day. Maybe once a month. Maybe once every 2 months. Sometimes I might go half a year without going.
You ever work out at the gym? You feel like you're like sweating and oozing out tuna?
No.
You ever worry that you smell like a tuna boat?
Not at all.
Cut six.
I don't know what defines sexy cake and what defines sexy coffee. I'm drinking a McCafe coffee.
Yeah, it's just like you go into Starbucks, you say, sprinkle me, sprinkle me, sprinkle me, man.
Cut seven.
Dougie Tuna was wearing shoes made from two baby tunas.
Really?
I'm sorry.
It's the funniest thing you've ever seen in your life.
With holes cut out for feet. He also kept a tuna bone scepter by his side. As he sipped his tuna fish smoothie, he pounded his fist on the table.
I had two sandwiches over the last 2 months. That's all.
I'm sorry. I can't help it.
I had one yesterday, and I had one a week ago.
As he sipped his tuna fish smoothie, he pounded his fist on the table and proclaimed, I need more tuna.
Wow. What a week, Doug. What a week.
Covered a lot of important topics. How is this even on the air anymore?
Hey, Doug, one more thing, by the way. Text line.
Yeah.
Apparently it's Timmy the Tickler. He's getting married tomorrow, and the burglar wants you to tell him good luck on his nuptials.
All right. Good luck.
Why'd you say it like
you're... Say it like a nice message.
I've seen some of his texts.
But Why'd you say it like you're Porky
Pig? Say, like,
Pig.
Timmy the Tickler... Good luck with your wedding, and then maybe he can clip it off and use it for, you know, a voicemail or something.
Timmy the Tickler, good luck with your wedding. Maybe you can clip it off and use it on your voicemail or something. Is that it?
Doug, you are a delight. And you know what made the whole tuna thing funny? Your reaction. When you get mad about things that it's really for show, you're not really that mad, that's very funny. It's good radio.
This Tickler fella, he didn't invite us to the bachelor party, did he?
He didn't.
Would you have gone?
I don't really know who he is. Maybe I've met him. Because, you know, sometimes they have the names, then you meet him in person. Their real name is John or Bill.
Yeah.
Phil.
Phil.
A lot of listeners named Phil, Doug.
I don't think there's probably any.
Phil, Doug,
call in.
Doug, this is the Tease Farm 9 o'clock hour.
Right.
Tease Farms. And what they have is they have shrubs, and they have this thing where you can take a wheelbarrow or a wagon, one of the two, and you can fill it up with all kinds of different shrubberies.
Either would be fine.
And you can go and you can have some nice horticulture.
They even have probably some shopping carts out there if you don't bring your own wagon.
It's a wagon deal. It's from June 10th to June 14th.
Oh.
It's the wagon clearance event.
We go there for pumpkins right around Halloween. They have a whole little setup there, stuff for the kids, little baked goods area. Kind of cool.
Does it bother you when people say pumpkin?
It does.
It does for me, too.
Rubs me the wrong way, fellas.
Hey, let's do the email today.
Okay.
Just seemed we were at a loss there because I saw you scanning through the book.
I feel like 9:48 is a good time to do email today.
That way you don't have to rush.
Yeah, we have a lot of them, by the way. Here we go.
All right.
Morn, just curious if you ladyboys were able to get your hot little hands on the latest issue of Hot Tuna Sandwich Weekly. It features some wonderful recipes for tuna sandwiches that can be whipped up at home with less than six ingredients, as well as which tuna sandwich dishes are best enjoyed while simultaneously sitting reverse. I'm not going to say that.
No. Who was it, Chuck?
Timmy Walters.
Timmy Walters, you've been suspended for your potty mouth. You've been suspended a period of 2 days' time.
Were these sifted through?
Went into the Llewellyn suspension.
And you thought that was a good one?
Log. Yule.
Plowsy.
Interesting that Plowsy put that one on top.
Yes, that was the first one about a guy sitting on a toilet.
You know what, Plowsy?
You're better than that.
You just earned yourself a one-day suspension.
Wow.
I love the reverse cowgirl on the tank lid. Anything that involves that, I put it on top.
Okay, well, it earned you a little one-day suspension.
Don't be ashamed.
You can serve over the weekend.
Hey, boys.
The Wellens has six locations.
Yeah. Hey, boys. A little analysis, if I may, and I hate when people say, if I may. Charlie needs to be more Tim-like when we are light on guests in steering the show. A strong personality takes over the show when Tim is gone. Doug and Charlie kind of sit back unless the topic is illegal immigration. When Jay is the third person, the show kind of flows along covering topics in a pretty casual manner because Jay is more laid back than a Jamaican vacation. When KKD was part of the threesome, tee-hee-hee, it was ADD to the max. Whatever she had in front of her became the topic because she has a strong personality. Blah, 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 dot, dot, dot. When Kat is in, he takes over and finds one topic and goes at it like a dog with a bone. Tim usually cuts him off. That tuna joke was not driven into the ground. It was driven to China. Enjoying the show, Steve in Wildwood.
Steve in Wildwood. Steve backs up what Doug was saying, that we took it too far.
We did, but you have to take it almost to the end to know you've taken it too far. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you rather take it like one notch too far than kind of leave yourself like not getting all you could out of it?
Like,
you know what I'm saying?
Like the song says, take it to the limit one more time.
Well said. Howdy. McDonald's has announced St. Louis will be a test market for a new kind of sandwich, McTuna. Their poll results show a large contingent of 60-something Caucasian males clamoring for a product that is quick, bland, tasteless, and most importantly, cheap. If it goes over well, they plan to roll out their other items on the McBoring menu.
Do they?
McSaltines and McTapwater. That is from Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
You can't get saltines at McDonald's, can you?
No, it's a test market.
Test market.
Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
That was good.
It's pretty good.
Hey, tuna slash pot pie, or whatever the hell you want to be called. Knock it off with the tuna stuff already, all right?
Yeah.
Local eateries are getting pissed about your stupid requests. Ragazzi's will not be doing a tuna toasted ravioli. The folks at Billy G's are accommodating, but they don't want to make you a tuna spadini. Budweiser will not just try launching a tuna IPA for the summer. No tuna cheesesteak at the Post. Emo's ain't making a tuna pizza. And for God's sake, stop asking Ted Drews to make a tuna concrete. It's not good, guys or gals. Your obsession with tuna is frightening. Please stop trying to force it upon other St. Louisans.
Yep.
That is from MWB at H. P.S. If you ask the folks at Subway to make a peanut butter and mayonnaise sandwich just one more time, you will be swiftly removed from society and placed into Del Mar Gardens, you weird little man.
That's mean. Matt, who bowls at Hank's.
Correct.
Is that who it's from?
Yes.
Oh, pretty good. I like him.
Hey, guys. So let me get this straight. Doug hates snakes and thinks all of them should be banished from the earth and should have never even existed, and yet he has a snake decoy. I did find this kind of ironic, that you have a snake decoy on your front porch to keep birds from making a nest.
Right.
So I guess snakes do serve a purpose.
Rubber ones do.
And before you jump in and pot pie or tuna fish or whatever the hell we are calling you, I know your snake is fake, but it proves they are necessary, and they do serve the purpose of keeping some animals at bay. If snakes didn't exist, your little decoy would be useless. Think about it.
No.
Think about it all night. Rant over, and I still love you, Dougie. That's from Corey G.
If it came down between a real snake and a bird, I'd take the bird every time. I'd be fine.
Yeah, but he's just saying that it does point out the fact that there is a useful purpose.
I agree.
For snakes.
Not much of a useful purpose, no.
This is going to be tough.
Useful for the rubber snake.
This is going to be tough, guys.
You see that video the other day that was going viral about the guy had two snakes coming down out of his attic into his house?
Uh-uh.
They were twined. They were wrapping themselves around each other, hanging from the attic down into his hallway of his house.
Were they really big?
Yeah, it's really long. Yeah.
All right, here it is. TMA Tuna Tale continued.
You haven't read it yet.
3, 2, and 1.
How can it be funny? Because you're laughing. He hasn't even started.
Because it's such a dumb premise. For there to be a follow-up email is funny unto itself.
There's also beyond like seven sentences involved.
You have to hear it before it's funny.
I read the first sentence. Okay. Back at the Mansion Daytona, Dougie Tuna slipped off his tuna fish slippers and slid elegantly into his tuna fish chum bath. He lit his tuna-scented Yankee candle and began to relax.
and read his tuna fish weekly. Quote, "Sir, we have a problem. That pesky marine biologist and his hot FBI friend have stopped your tuna shipment," said a beautiful henchman. Dougie Tuna didn't move. "Perfect," he whispered to himself. "But sir..." "Silence," screamed Dougie Tuna. "Let me show you something." He leapt from his tub and led the half-naked henchman down a dark hallway. Then it appeared, a room with computers, lights, and wires that resembled something from an NSA wet dream. "See those blips?" said Dougie Tuna. "That's..." "That's..."
You haven't read it yet.
Everyone's
"See
laughing."
"See those blips?" said Dougie Tuna. "That's every pot pie on the planet." "The tuna..." "The tuna was just a front." "The era of pot pies has arrived." Dougie Tuna had devised a most diabolical plot to hoard all the pot pies on the planet. Nothing would stop his want to. To be continued on the fan page. Yellowfin Cucky. That's pretty funny. It's a pretty funny
story. Well, you guys are an easy audience. That's the audience.
Everybody back there. Plausible.
Yellow
crying.
Fin Cucky.
That was funny.
Cucky. Yellow Fin. That
all
was
right.
funny.
Please sing to the tune of Rockin' Robin. Okay, here we go. He makes tuna sandwiches all day long. Pair it with a saltine in the belly and gone. All the albacore that live in the sea get a little nervous when Doug's hungry. Tuna fish Vaughn, eat. Eat, eat, tuna fish Vaughn, eat. Eat, 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 go tuna fish Vaughn, because you're eating a good meal tonight.
Awful. Awful. Terrible. Just terrible.
I'm sorry, that's funny.
Don't these people have jobs?
Oh.
Who's that from?
I'm sorry, that's from A Tool Belt for Daddy.
A Tool Belt.
I like the name.
For Daddy.
Sup, Chuck. Let's party this weekend. Doug, earlier you said you never even heard of Steven Adams while he was at Pitt, and then proceeded to ask, was he even good? Yes, the 7-foot Game of Thrones-looking beast was good. He was a one-and-done. Speaking of one-and-done, I know I'm sexy, but this whole one-pum, not doing that.
No, who was
White-collar gangster. I like white-collar gangster, but
he gets very vile.
Not that email.
White-collar gangster.
There's a million of these
suspended.
Here. Who's in the mix for the prize here, usually?
That's early in the month. It doesn't matter.
All right.
The closer you get to the bottom, those are kind of a stretch or long.
Let's see. The Rascal. I have to agree that you have been a little hard on Doug, and I don't mean in the way he's used to. When I'm having trouble with a loved one, I usually make them a casserole. You had asked for recipes earlier, so here's mine. 2 pounds albacore tuna in water, 2 cups of peas, 1 cup mayonnaise, 2 tablespoons each of salt and black pepper, 4 cups arsenic. Bake at 350 and make sure he eats a hearty portion. Hope this helps. Sincerely, Lydia Moss Bradley. That is from TFK, Ward, Bring Back the Cat's Pajamas.
TFK.
Sea Monster, we're getting close to being done here, right? Barnhart Brawler, way
too
long.
Just a couple minutes left here, Chuck.
All right, hold on. Let's see.
I think that's a good batch, Charlie.
I agree. Sup, Tuna. Sup, Big Low. Sup, Sir Interrupts a Lot. I'm going to the cards game tonight. The three of you is going to be there. Doug, if you see Molina, tell him good luck. I'll be golfing's bat on Saturday. Doug, any progress on those shoulders? Sure wish you could swing golf clubs free and easy again.
Me too.
You could swing that big driver.
Who? Oh. Chuck, who?
Hole in one, baby, hole in one. You guys are the best, but Tim is better. The Jeffco Gentleman.
Jeffco Gentleman has been suspended. I think I know what he was getting at.
He's been also eliminated.
You know what? There's one left, so I got to read this one. Sorry, Frank. Morning, ravioli heads. All the pot pie talk this morning got me thinking about the 1880s Boston Bean Eaters, pitching great Pot Pie Vaughn. Known for 2 signature traits, his disappearing palm ball and eating a chicken pot pie. And eating a chicken pot pie after every even-numbered inning. In both his greatest and final performance, Pot Pie Vaughn locked horns with Venison McGillicuddy. In an epic. How'd you put this at the bottom? This is great.
It isn't that
seriously.
Great.
Pot Pie Vaughn locked horns with Venison McGillicuddy in an epic 19-inning complete game performance. That's right, 19 innings pitched and 9 pot pies scarfed. Unfortunately, Vaughn suffered a devastating shoulder injury as he recorded the last out in that game and never pitched again. He spent his remaining years eating pot pies with his left hand and hosting a Telegram sports talk show. That's from brother, is it A-Bear or Ebert?
A-Bear.
A-Bear. All right.
Brother?
What you got?
A-Bear. I like brother A-Bear. I like Tool Belt for Daddy. Matt who bowls at Hanks was great. I got to go with Yellowfin Cookie.
I don't think,
and there's no question he'll win.
I don't think any of them were very good. I'm going to go for a fellow by the name of Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Well, you will lose.
I'm not going to lie, though, because I thought Bill Pullman was funny, and I thought Yellowfin Cookie was fantastic. No. But I actually think the Rockin' Robin one was pretty good.
It was good. But not as good as Yellowfin.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
It was a diabolic. There was a plot twist in an email. When do we get that sort of plot twist?
Well, you kindly let people vote.
I'm going
to
let Lousy, though.
For.
I agree with you. I'm torn because I think Yellowfin Cookie has 2 days' worth of great material. I'm going to vote for Tool Belt for Daddy just to allow Plowboy to have the final say.
Pullman's Independence Day speech.
But no, you can't vote for Bill Pullman.
Why?
Because that one wasn't really. It wasn't as good
I thought
as Yellowfin.
I thought we're taking votes.
Lousy, independently vote. Plowsy.
All right, I'll have to say, this is one of the better batches we've had. But Cookie, this was the best Cookie email we've ever witnessed. So I'm going to have to give it to Yellowfin Cookie.
Of course, because it was the best email.
I know it was 2 days in a row.
Man of
2 days in a row of really strong stuff.
Wasn't it great? You laughed hysterically before you ever started reading it.
Because it was really good yesterday, too. Is Frank out? You guys are in. He is in. Who's in? Hoffman?
Hoffman. Hoffman's talking. Look at Hoffman. I'm
the boys from We Are Live.
Frank's out today. We Are Live is filling in.
All right. We Are Live.
There we go. Filling in for Frank Cusimano coming up next on the press box. This has been great. The Lion's Choice handoff to the press box. Lion's Choice, a St. Louis original, home of famous roast beef sandwiches. And now you can add 2 LC destinations to the list. Lion's Choice in Wentzville is now reopened, returning after high demand. And check out the newest location in Rock Hill at Manchester and McKnight. More locations mean more of St. Louis's favorite roast beef sandwiches. So if you haven't, visit any one of the 25 Lion's Choice locations today. All right. We're going to shut her down. We'll see you on Monday for the Sea Monster and Plowsy and Peyton, for the Cat, for Doug. I am Charlie filling in for Tim. Have a great weekend. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio on CBS Sports Radio 920, InsideSTL.com, and 105.7 HD2.